How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. This is a story that just doesn't go away. I'm not saying it won't go away, but it simply doesn't go away. Before President Barack Obama was elected president, the question was being raised about his Christian faith. Is he a Christian? What kind of a Christian is he? He was raised in a Muslim home. Is he still a Muslim? What are his Muslim sympathies? All those kind of questions that swirl around there. Well, the question's still being asked, and he's getting near the end of his second term as president. And the media's fascination with this, and in particular in the form of kind of the gotcha question for perhaps potential presidential candidates from the GOP, are coming back around again. Let's see, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker was asked one of those questions about whether he thought President Obama was a Christian. How did he answer that question, and how did the media cover it? Why do they keep asking the question? Joining us to deal with some of those questions and their answers, Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
I'm glad to be here.
Is the president's religious beliefs, are all those beliefs newsworthy?
Apparently so. Year after year after year, they're newsworthy. I mean, all the way back when he was a candidate, you know, you had lengthy interviews linked to the Chicago Sun-Times that went quite in-depth into some of his theological perspectives. It's really interesting, but I almost think it's beside the point. So let me back into this for just a second and ask you a series of questions, and I think you'll see where I'm getting at real quick here. Okay, so you're facing an audience of, let's say, 1,000 American evangelical Christians. Let's just pick on evangelicals because everybody else does. Okay, so you've got 1,000 evangelical Christians in the room, and you ask the question, are Mormons Christian? Okay, now are they all going to agree?
Oh, golly. Mostly, but not all, of course.
Okay, and now next. And you're going to then you're going to get in more trouble. You're going to ask, are Catholics Christians? Do you think everybody's going to agree?
The audience here is 1,000 evangelicals,
right?
Again, probably the same percentage, mostly, but not all. They'll say yes.
Yeah, and then they're also going to have follow up questions. So they're going to say something like, "Well, I think that there are Catholics who aren't Christians, but I've got a good buddy named so-and-so, and I know he really loves the Lord, so I think he is."
Right.
Right?
Right.
You get that follow-up question. So in other words, these people in this audience all have different standards for what it constitutes to be a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, correct? They're all using different terms for what it means to be a Christian. They have different ways of defining the word. So we see this with Mormons, we see this with Catholics, we see this with liberal Protestants versus conservative Protestants. So you have all these different people with different views of what Obama is. Now, of course, I'm not referring to the people who think he's a closet Muslim, or I'm not talking about conspiracy theory folks here. I'm talking about people who honestly believe that his faith doesn't measure up to their standard. Now, notice that we are talking about doctrine, right? Well, the reporters who are out there are not asking doctrinal questions. They're asking political questions. So the question here is, what was the reporter actually doing here? So we've got a gotcha question in which they're trying to get a candidate to make a mistake. And in this case, the whole goal is to make the Republican look like a religious fanatic or a very judgmental person. The Republican, of course, is trapped because to some degree he has to give an answer that pleases a wide variety of different listeners. In this case, what I honestly think is that Walker got mad. And like I said at Get Religion, in a post about this, he in effect shot back with kind of a, that's a clown question, bro, kind of response, saying, well, how am I to know what's really true in the president's heart? Now, once again, that's a question about standards of Christianity and doctrine or whatever. When you put that into the context of a political debate in the press, it's a massive fail.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions regarding that. First of all, should Governor Walker have been prepared for that? I was struck by the fact that if you are, he's got to know that the press is kind of eyeing him with the possibility of a presidential attempt. Those are the kind of questions you prepare yourself for mentally. Do you think he was prepared for it?
No, I don't think he was prepared. And in fact, you could tell that with the way his staff scrambled right after the fact to try to get out of that. He didn't have a good answer. If he had said, I believe that the president's profession of faith is sincere, although I know some people may argue about that, he's a professed Christian, and for the public debate, that's really all we need to know. He should have said something like that and just moved on. I jokingly at Get Religion, kind of snarkily said, maybe he should have responded, who am I to judge? I mean, that worked for the Pope, right?
It's a perfect but very slippery answer, of course.
Yes, exactly. It was, I'm sure that would have gone over just really big. But back to the real issue here, which I think is the fact that Christians have different standards. We can see this in other stories. There was behind the scenes in one of the most horrific stories of the past week or so, we saw another perfect example of this quietly online. At least it didn't get much press coverage, and I'm sure Southern Baptist leaders are glad it didn't get any press coverage. When the Coptic Christians were beheaded in that horrible video from the Islamic State, you immediately began to have the term used that these were Christian martyrs. I mean, after all, on the tape, many of the men, as literally as the knives went into their throats, they all said, Lord Jesus, save us, or save me. Or, you know, they called on the name of Jesus at the moment of their death. And so you had lots of people beginning to use the term martyr to describe these people. A very interesting controversy unfolded on Twitter, which is where a lot of Southern Baptists said, hey, why are we calling these people Christian martyrs? They're not even Christians. Look at what Coptic Christians believe on, and they started naming doctrinal points between Coptic Orthodox Christians and Protestants, and also the long-standing debate over the Trinity, where there may or may not have been misunderstandings that have lasted 1,000 years related to how Coptics express the divinity of Christ versus how the rest of Orthodox Christianity does. So all of a sudden, you had a group of conservative Protestants in the American context looking at these men who died literally while speaking the name of Christ, asking for to be saved, saying that they're not Christians. So what's going on there? Obviously, doctrinal definitions are being used. And you're just not going to get agreement among a whole host of Christians in America on exactly who is and who isn't a Christian and where you draw the lines. So I'm not surprised that a lot of people keep shooting at Barack Obama, a very liberal mainline Protestant Christian, on this. I'm not surprised they keep shooting at him. I am surprised that Walker wasn't ready for the question.
There are, so it sounds like you're saying there are two things here. Number one, there is a great diversity of theological answers to the question, who is a Christian, inside Christendom. And two, the press is just on a different planet when it comes to what they mean when they ask the question, is the president a Christian?
They're trying to do a political trap, whereas the man has to the candidate has to answer the political question and the religious question at the same time, because his words are going to be reported to both audiences. That's really tricky stuff. And I think a lot of people feel that Republicans who are religious believers get asked these kinds of questions and get trapped like this more often because their views are so radically different from the opinion shapers and the information shapers in most newsrooms. We saw that again with the question about, which we have a hilarious post up today from Bobby Ross on Get Religion, about Walker being asked about, he's waiting, you know, to sense if it's God's will. And you had a reporter say, would the governor's press office please make available a series of transcripts for all of his conversations with God on this question? You know, at which point Molly Ziegler Hemingway went ballistic on that in her own, you know, holy shnikey way. I mean, you know, like, do these reporters really not understand how millions of Christians of all faiths talk about prayer and talk about trying to find God's will in their life and try to listening to the leading of God? I mean, don't they know any of that language? Don't they know anybody like that? Apparently not.
Terry Mattingly is our guest, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. More with him on the other side of the break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. All Glory, Laud, and Honor by the Wells Cathedral Choir, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org is sacred music for the church, and it follows the course of the church year, so that means right now it's sacred music for the season of Lent, and you can listen to it 24/7, absolutely free, year-round at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of comments made by Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker regarding President Obama's Christian faith. Terry is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, had you been on staff for Governor Walker in advance and anticipated such a question for him as a possible presidential candidate, how would you have counseled him to have answered the question about the president, whether or not he's a Christian?
Well, I would have said something like, you know, in numerous interviews, Barack Obama has given his Christian testimony, and it sounds like a conversion experience to me. So I'm going to take his word at that. Now, I'm sure that there are many differences between me and the president on what we believe about a whole host of issues that Christians would find important in public life. But let's just argue about those issues and not the validity or the sincerity of the president's faith.
So why does – we've asked and answered the question, why does this keep coming up again? But why does it keep coming up again about this president? Do you see the nuance in my question there?
Yeah. He has a very unique background. I mean, there aren't name the American presidents with first names like Barack. I mean, and who has Islam in his family, and at one point in his life, while living in Indonesia, was attending a Catholic school, and he was listed as a Muslim, in their records, the whole family was supposedly Muslim. And, you know, he goes to a very controversial liberal Christian church, makes a profession of faith, but they can't seem to remember when he was baptized. And he, you know, has all kinds of controversial positions on issues that Christians for thousands of years have found a lot of agreement on, like abortion, like on the definition of marriage. We already know that according to his staff, he now lied about when he actually changed his mind on the definition of marriage. All of this creates kind of a cloud of suspicion around him from the point of view of people who do not support him. That's the simple fact of the matter. They're looking for reasons to criticize him. He's given them lots of interesting reasons to criticize him. But I have another way of stating it, which ironically comes out of an article that I read, like a lot of other people in this country did, the current Atlantic cover story about what does ISIS really want. Halfway in there, one of the scholars quoted was talking about how you define who is and who isn't a Muslim. And at one point he said that you have lots of people in the modern world who say they're Muslims, but they don't believe many of the things that Muslims have traditionally believed through the centuries. And he says, you basically, these people are arguing that they are vegetarians who eat meat.
Hmm.
And he said, yeah, that's, other Muslims just don't understand that. Well, once again, I'm not saying Barack Obama's a meat-eating vegetarian Muslim, okay? You know, what I'm saying is there are issues that Christians consider very, very important and central to the faith on which Barack Obama has taken controversial stands. And thus Christians are going to argue about it. So I'm not surprised again that the argument keeps going, even though he has a clear profession of faith on the record. I am surprised that some politicians just aren't ready to answer it in a way that puts this thing behind them, and they move on to the political questions that they're actually supposed to be discussing.
How likely do you think it is that the question will be asked? And I completely agree with you, Terry, that what we're dealing with here in the president is a very, very left of center, kind of mainline Protestant Christian man, no reason to question whatsoever his repeated assertions of his Christian faith. But the looming question of his Muslim background is often spun out into more than it is or more than it ought to be. How likely is it that whoever is getting closer to the finish line with regard to the Republican candidacy for president in 2016 is going to be asked the question, do you think that President Obama is a Muslim?
Well, I mean, at that point, you just have to crack up laughing and say, no, he's a member of the United Church of Christ, period. And just leave it at that and go. He's a member of the single most trailblazing, most doctrinally liberal flock in Protestantism today. And that's the United Church of Christ. That is, he soon after he was nominated, he spoke to the United Church of Christ Assembly. He's done lots of things to identify with them, although he has not joined a church of that ilk you know, in Washington, D.C., or any other church, but I see no reason not to just state the fact and move on and just get this thing in the past. Democrats are going to be looking for every way they can to fire up their base, and their base includes African-American voters who have justifiable reason to be upset when they hear attacks on this president, you know, from their perspective. Then you throw in, you know, the religiously unaffiliated and religious liberals. Those are now the core of the Democratic coalition. You can't just give them stuff like this.
So if there's something that we've dealt with, you know, if you were advising Governor Walker, if you were advising the press to answer not just the gotcha question, but a real substantive question about what is obviously a continuously newsworthy subject, and that is the president's religious beliefs. What kind of question do you think would be substantive on that issue that would be newsworthy, the kind of thing a reporter could legitimately ask a Republican aspirant to candidacy?
Well, I think if you're going to dialogue with the press about this, I think what you're going to have to ask back is, are you really asking me this as a sincere doctrinal question, or are you asking me a political question? You know, I mean, put the shoe back on the other foot for the journalist. Politics is all that's real to most journalists when you're talking about these kinds of questions. So you just got to be ready to handle it politically, and that's that.
Is this a question that anyone who serves as president in the future who does not have kind of the typical resume of, yeah, he's been this, he's been that, but it's all been within the pale of more or less Orthodox Christianity in the United States? Does anybody with a non-Christian or without the Christian pedigree who occupies the office of president have to face this for however many terms they serve?
Well, I actually think it's going to get worse.
Really?
Here's why. When you look at the statistics for Americans today, you end up, John Green of in Ohio, a political pollster, has answered this really well. There's about 20 to 22% of Americans who are devout church, synagogue, or mosque-going religious believers, and they're really trying to lead their faith day after day, live their faith day after day after day. There's about 22% of them. Now, the big news in recent years has been the rise of the so-called nones, the religious unaffiliated, the N-O-N-E-S folks. Well, you take the folks who are not identified with any particular religion. They're overwhelmingly culturally and politically liberal. You combine them with what's left of liberal Protestantism. You combine them with inactive, not very often mass-going Catholics, and a rising number of skeptics, atheists, and agnostics. You add all of them up, and you've got about 20 to 20% of the population. And according to John Green and a host of others who've analyzed this, the group on the religious right side of that spectrum is one of the core constituency groups of the Republican parties, and you've got to please them. And on the other side, this new 22% of skeptics and the religious left, they're one of the primary core groups for the Democratic Party. And Democrats have to please them. Yet at the same time, Democrats have to please that group. At the same time, they try to please the African-American church and Latino Catholics. That's going to be complex. But as long as our nation continues to spin off into these two very powerfully motivated subgroups on the far religious left and the far religious right, and these two groups tend to be identified with certain political parties so strongly, I don't see this question getting any easier for politicians to kind of pussyfoot their way through this. They're going to have to say stuff that's really clear, and then meanwhile, they can't turn off all the uncertain people in the muddy Oprah America middle. Now, how's that for a task?
Finally then, Terry, with about a minute here, you write this. What would it look like if a reporter tried to turn this situation around and ask a similar question or two of former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton? What are you getting at there?
I'm just saying that if you tried to ask as many gotcha questions or religiously leading questions to the left, those people have a different audience that they have to be careful about not writing off or offending. They'd have to be careful in a different way. I kind of just explained it in a way. The religious left has certain subjects it's very sensitive about, and they wouldn't want to hear Hillary Clinton, you know, veer off into those too much, just as folks on the right have certain things they want their candidates to have to say and affirm. Both sides have got to be really careful on both ends of that spectrum.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's our Christ in the Old Testament series. We'll be talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Abraham and the covenant of circumcision. That's tomorrow on the program. Folks, the early registrations have been coming in for this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This is the premier conference for lay people. Speakers at the conference include Dr. Paul Meyer, Dr. David Menton, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Chris Roseborough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton. Now remember, attendance this summer is limited to 400 people total, so don't wait to register, and you can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois at our website, issuesetc.org. You can contact Craig, call him at 618-223-8385, or send him an email, craig@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.